You see the scripture up on your on the frame there on the screen. I'd like you to turn there. We will get to that scripture. Actually, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning because you're going to need your Bibles because we're going to go from one to another to another to another during the message. So I'd like to ask you to have your Bible open and ready, whether it's on your tablet or your phone or if you have the print in front of you. And then we'll go through that together. But I want to start with a word of prayer, and then so we can get started. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the day. I thank you for these folks. I thank you for those who are watching online. As we get closer to the day we have set aside as Thanksgiving Day, it really is important for us as followers of Christ to remember that Thanksgiving is not just one day, but it should be every day of the year. So we want to say thank you for all your goodness and all your grace and all the blessings that you've poured out on us. As we study your word today, help us to see what is here. Speak to our hearts through your word and help us to realize how ugly ingratitude is. Help us to be people who are grateful for everything you've given to us. And Lord, as I bring the message this morning, would you help me to step aside that we might see Jesus and Jesus only? For in his name I pray. Amen. As I was studying, I came across something that's not theological. It's not deep. It's not something you go, oh, wow, this is earth-shattering. But I found this. It says, wearing shoes is optional, but eating is not. Driving a car is optional, but once you choose the option, driving on the right-hand side in America is not. I'm not saying these things are impossible. You can choose to go without eating, but if you do, you have to take the consequences. You must be willing to exist at a low energy level, to invite infection, disease, and if you persist, to die. You can choose to drive on the left, but will pay fines and cause accidents. Now, like I told you, that's not theological, it's not deep, but it leads me to my thought. You and I, as Christ followers, are faced every day with options. We have the option every day of being a good steward or being a bad steward. We have the option every day of being good and because we've been blessed or we have the option of being selfish and keeping things to ourselves. Thanksgiving Day is approaching. You and I both know that. It's kind of hard to miss that. And yet, one of the things that concerns me, as I've already expressed in the prayer, is that we oftentimes look at Thanksgiving Day as one day out of a year. We focus on that. We say, let's have Thanksgiving. But then we forget that Thanksgiving actually should be every day of the year in our lives. So my point this morning is that I want us to see how God has richly blessed us. And how ugly it is to be ungrateful. Because you see, I believe that as a Christ follower, we ought to be the most grateful people on the planet. But tragically, we're not. So I want to get to ingratitude, but first I want to talk to you about the benefits of blessings. Now, I want to reiterate something that I mentioned last week. And that is this. Now, I realize that what I said last week, you will all remember. I know, your memory is so strong that you watched online and or you were here and you're going to say, yeah, Bill, you just bored me because you just said the same thing you did last week. But just in case you don't remember, I'd like to kind of give you the ideas of what I talked about last week. There were four ideas I gave you about God's blessings on our life. And I want to reiterate those to you this morning to get started. First of all, God's blessings are numerous and varied. None of us have the same blessing together. I mean, we are not cookie cutters. If I am not a baker, but if someone is going to make cookies and they have a cookie cutter, they go like this, and each one is exactly the same. Well, they're supposed to be. We are not cookie cutters. What God has blessed me with, He may have chosen to bless you with something different. And that is good because God's blessings are numerous and varied. The second blessing is that God's blessings are beyond what we deserve. When someone asks me, how you doing, Bill? I most often will say, better than I deserve. Because I am. God's grace continually astounds me. God's goodness continually amazes me. And I am blown away when I consider God's blessings on my life. And so it is far more than I deserve. The third thing about God's blessings is that it is poured out on the just and the unjust. Now, I realize that some people say, well, that doesn't sound fair. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I should be blessed more. And so I knew a young man who came to Christ, and he couldn't understand because he began to give his money. But he watched himself struggle while that person over there, who was a heathen and a non-believer, was flourishing. And he came and he said, Bill, I don't understand that. And I told him, I said, just don't worry about it. God has you in his hand. He's going to take care of whatever you have. And now, probably 40 years later, he's a man of God. And he trusts God for everything because he saw God be true. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The blessings fall on the just and the unjust. But the fourth one is that God's blessings have a purpose. God's blessings have a purpose. No follower of Christ is to ever keep things to themselves. I believe that it's wrong to gather and hoard as a follower of Christ. I use a saying that I believe very strongly, I have been blessed to bless. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the passage that I said that I would like you to have open there, I want to read some verses out of that. We're going to start with verse 6. The main verses will be 10 and 11, but I want to lead up to that. So let's follow along, if you would, please. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, if you're going to give to somebody, don't complain about doing it, okay? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And here's the two verses. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. In other words, we have been blessed to bless. God has been generously good to us. He has poured his blessings on us. Our response should be to give blessings to other people. Now, some people are going to say, but Bill, I don't have the money to do that. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where it says blessing others only requires money. Here's some ideas. How about a kind word? How about a smile? How about a compliment? And here's something, go old school with them. Send them a note in the mail instead of an email. Send them a note, find a card, send them a card. And tell them, I'm thinking of you. I just want you to know that. I want to share something, and I hope that you understand why I do that. Last month was Pastor Appreciation Month. I don't tell anybody that. I don't broadcast that because I don't think it's that important for me. But there were some folks last month who took time to say thanks. One lady made these cookies. They were chocolate on top of chocolate on top of chocolate. Now, you have to understand, I don't like chocolate. Okay, I'll duck the lightning bolt on that one. But I wasn't going to eat them until I saw Joe liked them so well. So I said, well, I can't leave them lay around, you know. So they were good. And she left a little note with it saying, I just wanted you to know that I appreciate you. Another person gave me one of those crosses, you know, that they make out of metal. And I'm trying to figure out how to hang it from my rearview mirror so it doesn't slap everything on the dashboard. And another couple gave us a gift card to a local restaurant. Now, every one of those were different. Did you notice? But every one of them came from the heart. That's what it means to bless somebody, because you've been blessed. And it doesn't matter how it's done. It's just the fact that it is done. But let's move on. Let's talk about the inconsistency of ingratitude. This is where I want to focus most of our time this morning. And to be honest, I really struggled with this. I didn't know where to start with the benefits and finish up with the ingratitude, or to start with the ingratitude and finish up with the blessings. But what I decided to do was to start with the blessing and set the tone so that as you see how good God is to you, and you come over here and realize, oh man, being ungrateful is sure ugly. And so that's my purpose this morning. So what I want to do is I want to take you through some scriptural examples. So if you have a Bible, I would like you to turn with me if you would. I'll capsulize some of them just to make it a little bit less time consuming. The first one we come to is in Numbers 16. I see I have number 16 up here. It looks like November. Now, Numbers 16, it is called Korah's Rebellion. Now, Korah was the Levite. He had some friends, and they decided they were going to rebel against the leadership of Moses. And they even said that. How in the world can you do that? Why should we praise you? Why should we honor you? Why should we honor Moses? And why should we honor Aaron? So Moses makes a deal with them. He says, okay, tomorrow I want you to take a censer and I want you to put some incense in there, and we'll let God decide who's on the right side. We'll let God decide who is the leader of the people. So the next day they came out. But before that, look at verse 11. Now, keep in mind, a Levite was responsible to God, given a job by God to carry and take care of the tabernacle. They put it together. They carried it. They took it apart. And so it was their responsibility. And this was a job definitively given to them by God. Look at verse 11. Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. So they had forgotten their responsibilities. They had forgotten that God had blessed them with this responsibility. And so Moses particularly points out Korah and says, you're rebelling against God. Well, the next day, if you read the rest of the story, the earth opened up, swallowed them all. Well, I hope that's not what happens to us when we forget to be grateful, that the earth opens up and swallows them. I don't think it's going to do that. So there's the first example of ingratitude. The next example is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, if you turn there, this is what is called a Shema, or S-H-E-M-A, Shema. And it is the greatest passage in the Old Testament for the Jew. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, we often stop there, but I want you to keep reading with me. He says, these things I command you today. Verse 7, you teach them to your children. You talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You bind them on your forehead. But then he goes on to say, I want you to remember this, that you're coming into a land, this is verse 10, with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of all good things you did not fill, cisterns you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat, you're full. Here it is, verse 12. Then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you will serve. So what had happened is the people of Israel were being told, don't forget what God has done for you. Because he's told them, you're going to have houses, you're going to have land, you're going to have cisterns, you're going to have all of this, vineyards, and all this, and you had nothing to do with it. I gave it all to you. And he says, and don't forget what I have done. Third example comes to us from the book of Judges. It's not Joshua in your notes. It should be Judges. That is my fault. I typed it wrong. And it's the story of what happens to the people of Israel after Gideon dies. Pick it up in verse 33. It says, as soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after Baals and made Baal-berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who delivered them from the hand of all their enemies. God had used Gideon to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. But then after Gideon died, it turned right around and they forgot that God had done that. And they went right back into their heathen lifestyle. So there's another example of forgetting what God had done for them. The next example is from the book of Psalms, chapter 78. And we're not going to read all of that. That's a long psalm. But what it is a history lesson. And the writer of Psalms takes them and shows them how God has been with them the whole time. But I want to begin I want to just look at a couple of verses at the very beginning, verse 3 and 4. It says, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he's done. So their responsibility as parents and as leaders is to tell their children what God has done. But now let's go down to verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You see what they're supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be telling their children so that their children, as they grow up, will not forget what God has done for them. The next example is the book of Hosea. Now, just to bring you up to date or up to snuff, so to speak. If you don't know who Hosea is, Hosea was a prophet, married Gomer. He was told by God, I want you to go and marry a prostitute named Gomer. So he went and married her, had a couple children, and then she decided to go back into her former lifestyle. But then God comes to him and says, now, I want you to go back, Hosea, and I want you to redeem her. I want you to buy her back and bring her back home. So Hosea does that. But he does that because it is a picture of Hosea being God and Gomer, his wife, being the people of Israel and the unfaithfulness that goes on. God's faithfulness, the people's unfaithfulness. Well, if you go to verse 4 of chapter 6, this is in a whole chapter or two of Israel and Judah's unrepentant faithlessness. What shall I do with you, Ephraim? What shall I do with you, Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as light. So God says, because they have forgotten me, I'm going to have to take steps. But notice what it says in verse 8. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. More important to God is not our works. More important to God is not how many times we go to church. More important to God in this case was not how many sacrifices they offered, how many burnt offerings they are offered. What God was interested in more than anything else is what? The heart. He's interested in our heart. But what he doesn't want us to do, and if you follow the rest of this chapter and the rest of this book, you will find out that one thing God does not want us to do is to forget his steadfast love. And that whole story of Hosea and Gomer is a picture of God's love and his steadfastness toward us. Don't forget it, folks. That's the story. Don't forget it. Well, the next example is in Luke chapter 17. And I think most of us are familiar with the story, in case you aren't. It's a story of 10 lepers who come to Jesus. Jesus heals, tells them to go to the temple like they're supposed to. And on the way, all 10 of them are healed from their leprosy. But only one returns. And it says that he comes down and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and he praised God. That's an example of saying thanks. And Jesus is kind of not stumped, but he's questioning. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Uh-oh. That means that we have been blessed. Are we one of those who keep on running, or do we turn around and say thanks? But then he doesn't stop there. He said, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, the foreigner was a Samaritan, a hated person by the Jews, a hated race by the Jews. And yet it was this one person who turned around and said, thanks. Let's not be one of those other nine who forget God's goodness to us. But instead, let us be the one who came back and said, thank you for what you've done. Well, there are two others, and there are scriptures that are going to be up on the bulletin or on the screen for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. And what's the next phrase? Or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I realize that that passage of Scripture has a whole lot more, but I wanted to really focus on those four words, give thanks to him. They refused to give thanks. Then there's one more, and this one might shock you a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And what's the next word? Ungrateful. But you're going to say, wait a second here. I am not a lover of money. I'm not a lover of myself. I'm not proud and I'm not arrogant, which kind of blows that apart. I'm not abusive. I'm not disobedient to my parents. Are you ungrateful? Because you see, what it does is it lumps us in with that same group. If we are ungrateful for God's blessings, that says that we are just like all those others. You see, the Bible is not silent when it comes to ingratitude. And I hope you can see that. And I just touched the hem of the garment, so to speak. There are so many more examples that we could have given you, book after book, chapter after chapter, of people who were totally ungrateful for all that God had given to them. There's probably a book in here called Bill of how ungrateful I have been in the past. There isn't really, by the way. But let's not be guilty of having our name on that list of being ungrateful. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward has been entrusted with something, and it tells us that we are to be found faithful with what we've been given. You see, every one of us have been given something. Every one of us have been blessed. And I want to go back to that phrase that I used at the very beginning, we have been blessed to bless. And you and I have been blessed. Consider yourself, compare yourself to the third world country. You are wealthy. We are rich beyond our wildest dreams. Yet how often do we take what we have for granted? Whether it be our monetary means, whether it be our families, whether it be the house that we live in, the vehicles that we drive, the job that we have, the area that we live in. All you need to do is read some of these stories of people who live in trash heaps, of kids who have nothing, of people who have nothing. And we cannot not say, I have it all. I have been blessed beyond my wildest dreams, far more than I have ever deserved. But God has given that to us. This coming week, you'll be getting a midweek message. It's going to actually come out tomorrow. And in there, I'm going to give you 8 things that I'd like you to focus on for Thanksgiving. 8 things to be thankful for and ask you to pray for this Thanksgiving. I could stand up here and I could say, well, be thankful for this, and you say, I am, and you could. But what I'm asking you to do is to take these 8 things, and if you don't have time all at one time, do them. Split them up. Take 2 one time, 2 another time, 2, you know, in the morning, 2 in the evening, whatever. There are 8 ideas for you to be grateful for. And if I'm correct, you'll probably be able to add more. But these are just simple ways to say thank you. I want to challenge you to do that, whether you are here, whether you are online. Take some time this week. And I am convinced, as I said earlier, Thanksgiving is more than just one day a week. Thanksgiving needs to be 365 days out of a year where we express our thanks for God's goodness and God's blessings. If you don't do that now, let's start. Let's be grateful for what God has given to us because He has blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. So this week, take some time to be grateful. You live in a great country. You have family. You have friends. You have needs met. How much more can we be thankful for? Let's pray. And Lord, thank you so much for this day. We want to, first of all, thank you for Jesus, for his death on the cross for our sins, the gift of salvation that is ours when we come. If there's somebody here today who has, either in person or online, who has never come to know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'll begin the process of saying, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How do I get to know Jesus? Because that is the greatest gift of all, and that should be the greatest blessing we have received and say thank you for. So, Father, I pray that if there is somebody who needs to know Jesus, they will do that. For those who are watching online today, and for those who are here, help us not to waste the blessings that you have given to us. We have been challenged to bless because we have been blessed. And help us to take steps beginning today to let other people know that we are thankful for them, that we are grateful for what they've done, for that we appreciate who they are as individuals. And whether it be a note, a smile, a compliment, a kind word, or whether we go old school and send a note, I just pray that you'll help us to be sensitive to other people because we have no idea who might need to hear a good thing, a kind word, a good action. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to be sensitive to you with that and sensitive to others. Thank you so much for blessing us more than we deserve, for taking us so far beyond we can even think or imagine. But help us to realize that it's not ours, it's yours. You've given it to us to be stewards of it, and help us to use it to serve you in all ways. So thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for these folks. Thanks for those who are watching. Help us to use this week as a catalyst to become a grateful people for all that you've done. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. For those of you online, appreciate you watching. Hope you signed in. Let us know you were there. For you guys, thanks for being here today. See ya.